I'm Dr. Rod Berger. Sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and explore some of today's most pressing educational issues through the experienced eyes of leading education personalities. Welcome to Coffeed. Well, this is going to be really interesting. We're going to be talking about the library media sciences and in a way that I don't think a lot of people in the general public are aware of, and that we should be aware of because of the impact that they have on student learning and access to information on a daily basis and the passion of people behind that. We're going to be speaking with Dr. Julie Todaro today. She's the president-elect of the American Library Association. Dr. Todaro has been a librarian for over 35 years. She's worked in public and academic libraries and has been a children's librarian, a community college librarian, a library educator and consultant and trainer, and she has been a frequent presenter throughout the United States, Mexico, and Canada. She's also won a number of awards, including the Texas Library Association 1996 Librarian of the Year, the 2012 Lifetime Achievement Award as well. And she's also a noted author. She has authored Library Management for the Digital Age, A New Paradigm by Roman and Littlefield in 2014. And her latest is Mentoring A to Z, which was just released by ALA Editions. Dr. Julie Todaro, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, Julie, it's so nice to be speaking with you. I know this is April. It's a very, very big month for the ALA and for librarians all across the country and even the world with that regard. Talk about the initiative and what your hopes are for it during this month.
Yes, thank you. National Library Week has been around since 1958, actually, for 58 years. And what we've usually done during this week, as you mentioned, both nationally and internationally, is focus on the initiative that the association really sees as its overarching mission. And our current articulation of that is Libraries Transform. And we have a very exciting campaign for all types of libraries and librarians and library workers. And Libraries Transform lends itself to talking about what you mentioned, and that is making a difference in the lives of our constituents and our users, and making a difference in the communities in which we serve.
Tell me about the change over time, Julie, because I think that people, if they weren't really paying attention, they got all ramped up or sort of amped up in the technology wave, especially in ed tech. Mm-hmm. And those in education know what we mean by that. But tell me about the changes in day-to-day library activities and the training involved for librarians to stay up to date in a world that is now embedded with technology.
Thank you. I call this change dog-ear change. And the reason being that when I first started at the college in the early 80s, we would get in to our primarily print world and high-speed microfilm world, we would get in a single 5 1/4 disc. Now, for those people who don't know what that is, it's probably hanging from their Christmas tree or they're using it as a coaster, as you and I both know, although you're younger than I am. So we would get in that content update, and then very quickly, for example, the next 5 years is what I've tracked, is that we moved from getting in one piece of information that we made available digitally to literally 7 updates a year. So we went from, gee, I got another disc. 8 months later, I got another disc. And then we would have it all on 3.5 inch discs, and then we would do a local area network, and then we do a wide area network, till ultimately, before the decade was up, we were online. And that was an update that happened, synchronously. It was happening every minute. So we would prepare content to teach our users at night, and in the morning, the content would have shifted if we were searching, because the web is dynamic. So libraries have had to change at that pace, that sort of 7-to-1 pace, meaning that we don't have time to get to learn our product in the back. We are, in fact, continuously learning in terms of our own professions, so that we can turn around and work with our patrons to give them the best possible experience. So I think libraries have really been under the radar in terms of the impact of technology and how that changes. I will tell you a brief digression, though. You know how you look at Yahoo and you have all those 30 pictures of history kind of thing? They had a set of pictures on the Philadelphia Free Library and the history of that. And they showed, early 1900s, they showed kids waiting outside the library to go in. And it was, of course, grainy, sepia colored. It was incredible. And when the children were let in, they were leaning over, staring into a box. And what the library had done was gotten the old stereoscopes that people would now look at in a small way, but at that time they were boxes. And so here was the library with six of these, and the kids were lined up knee deep in knee breeches and caps to look into the stereoscope to see the latest technology. So libraries have really tried to focus on equity and to make sure that if there's something out there for people, if at all possible, they're going to make it available so that everyone can get in on whatever is cutting edge.
I love that story. I don't think that's a digression at all. I think that that really speaks to the changes that we've all been experiencing. You know, Julie, one of the biggest information challenges I think that's out there for 21st century schools is, and I've heard this a lot from folks, is not generally access to resources, but the curation of resources.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
You've kind of identified in a phrase what I think our expertise is as librarians. And that to me is critical. That is the expertise of the people whom we hire and as you mentioned, how we learn and how we apply that. And one of our greatest strengths is not just acquiring resources, but curating them or organizing them into guided pathways or providing that window of opportunity that is geared toward the user. And I had an instructional technologist I worked with for a long time, and she would teach people how to design web pages. And she said, would you mind coming into my class and teaching people how to get from 200,000 answers to 100? And that's what our expertise is. We not only design pathways, we teach people how to have the best possible results from their search to meet their needs. And in addition to that, we have this long-standing tradition of bibliographies or bookmarks that have lists of books on them. And that's an expertise that we now apply to the electronic world. So everywhere you go, libraries have incredible online pathways to the internet so that when you are looking at something, we'll teach you the best search terms of its information literacy for us, and we'll also provide something that's readily been prepared for you. So if you're a hobbyist, let me show you the best way to get there. If you want to make an A in chemistry, let me show you the best way to get there.
Yeah, no, I want to touch on that in just a second. I want to remind everybody that this interview is sponsored by our friends at Chuzito. You can search and learn because the web is not a library and search engines are not librarians. Go to Chuzito.com, that's Chuzito.com. Remember, that's because the web is not a library and search engines are not librarians. You mentioned information literacy, Julie, and so let's go dive a little bit deeper into that because I think that there was a trend. And it's still going on, the digital literacy age, and we see lots of initiatives in education around that phrase, digital literacy. But I'm starting to see more and more, thankfully, around information literacy. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the difference or how you interpret that and ways in which we can build up that acumen as professionals, whether we are in the library media sciences and or touching education in some form or fashion.
Mm-hmm. Historically, libraries have always identified how they interact with patrons to teach them to be successful. So we've called it user education, we've called it library education, we've called it bibliographic instruction. Now, some of those phrases make sense to users and some don't. So when we farther defined what we were doing, the best definition or the umbrella definition, which includes critical thinking, user education, user experience, that full definition is under information literacy. That term actually encompasses digital literacy. It encompasses visual literacy. And so when you look at all the aspects of learning and understanding and accessing and all the different kinds of pedagogy there are, information literacy covers the education to teach you how to understand a picture, a graphic image, a learning object, a phrase, a paragraph, how to distinguish from a quote, from your opinion in terms of someone's fact. So information literacy is that umbrella term that really is our focus, because what we want people to do is be able to find the content and then assess that content and then apply that content to their own context. But I use the term, and as you did, digital literacy, but we also have a visual literacy aspect that I mentioned before that we work with art students to show them how graphic images on the web have alt tags and how we identify the key words in pictures. I mentioned that the web was dynamic, and we also know the web is semantic, so that, you know, we're only as good as the pictures and the tags that we use on the internet, if you're going to talk about the web. And so that's a combination of both digital and visual literacy, the ability to find pictures, and if you're creating pictures, tag them, credential them, and make sure that they're identified in the most possible ways for your users.
We're speaking with Dr. Julie Todaro. She's the president-elect of the American Library Association. April is a very, very big month for Julie and her association. We've got National Library Week, April 10th through the 16th. We've got School Library Month. And we have the National Library Workers' Day as well within the 10th to the 16th, that National Library Week. Julie, you know, we live in a day and age now where we talk about engagement with regards to students and keeping them connected. We see higher education is very concerned with keeping or bringing students to physical campuses in a blended learning world that we are in. I would think that libraries have also had that challenge as well, because we're talking about a physical space. Mm-hmm. How have libraries adjusted at the school level to welcome children in a way that, like you and I, we just knew that the library was a staple item of our educational experience, of our communities. And now we have so many other things going on out there that I would imagine there's a marketing component to it as well.
Yes.
Draw people in. Talk about that in a blended learning world, how libraries are adjusting.
Okay. First of all, we want to change people's terminology so that the concept of entering the library is both a digital experience as well as an actual experience. So that when I count my users or my door count, I also count my virtual door count. So it's very important that websites that we design or curate, as you mentioned, have that same kind of application of organization, welcoming issues. So we want people to look broadly at that terminology. Secondly, you're right on the money when you talk about marketing. We have major marketing campaigns, for example, Libraries Transform. And our goal is to communicate to people that we can assist in making them successful, which is why libraries have STEAM and STEM initiatives with makerspaces, why we have tutoring for students so that they can get help outside the classroom, and why librarians, in many cases, are faculty or on faculty tracks so that they are teachers of the students just as much as classrooms. Faculty are. My third comment here is that libraries are very closely integrated with the curriculum. So I'm going to use the example of the community college where I am. I'm at Austin Community College in Austin, Texas, and we are committed to a process not original with us, but one that's been around a long time, and that is integrated information literacy. So when you come to our college and you take a chemistry class, you have a chemistry lab that's part of your education. And the chemistry lab assignment requires that you use the library. And this is something that we work with classroom faculty on continuously. We've had one for 25 years. We have an assignment embedded in our English comp classes. We have an assignment embedded in psychology and in some developmental work. So that, just as you're saying, while someone wouldn't naturally think to go to the library, their assignment and their classroom faculty member drives them to the library so that they can complete their classwork and their assignments successfully by using our resources. And sometimes that's in person and sometimes that's digitally.
Julie, let's go back and close with this. Talk with me about when you were a young girl and some of the experiences you had at the library growing up that I would imagine sparked this now legacy of a career where you have done so much from a leadership position. And I believe you're also the first community college librarian as well, right? So
yes.
You've been a trailblazer in many, you know, in a great sense of the word. So talk with me about those initial experiences as a young child in the library and how you see those transitioning and or paralleling what you see in current young children's experiences in the library?
I think beyond my family's push to become a librarian, certainly my father's push, he saw it as a safe place to work and a learned place of exploration, very quiet and calm. And of course, I used to laugh and say, no, Dad, the last thing it is quiet and calm these days. But he was absolutely true in terms of you never have a dull day. He and my mother both made sure that we went to the library regularly, and we participated in activities that the library still has to this day for children, both in school libraries and public, and even academics do certain things in the summertime, so that when you are not doing your classwork, you're integrating recreational reading and sort of lifelong learning activities. Most public libraries and school libraries have some kind of a summer reading club throughout the country, and literally tens of thousands of students go each year, public library patrons, and that's what I did. I signed up for summer reading clubs, and I won an award. And there's a little picture of me that I found the other day. I think I was 9, and I had my little ballet slippers on and my little book in front of me. And I was standing in front of a tree that had been created inside the library. And all of the leaves on the tree were the names of the people who'd read books. And there I am with the world's worst haircut. And I am excited because my leaf is on the tree. And that kind of excitement is very important in libraries, that we recognize that people come to us. We celebrate reading and learning. And now you read online, you learn online, all different kinds of celebrations that we have. And we want to reward people for finding us and using us, and then illustrate for them how we do transform their lives.
Well, it's fantastic what you're doing this month in April, and we know that that will extend beyond that. I know you have. We want to let people know that your annual convention is in Orlando, June 23rd through 28th.
Uh-huh.
Orlando in June is never a bad thing, so that should be
no,
a wonderful time for a library.
It's convention. A lot of fun. It really is.
You can also go to ALA.org to learn more about the American Library Association. Don't forget, this is National Library Week, the 10th through the 16th of the month. We've got School Library Month and National Library Workers' Day during the ALA week during April 10th through 16th. Mm-hmm. We want to thank our sponsors at Chuzito.com. Search and learn, because the web is not a library and search engines are not librarians. Go to Chuzito.com. That's Chuzito.com. Well, Julie, it's been a great pleasure.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your election to the position of president, and we look forward to following you in 2016-2017.
Thank you. I'm following a great president. Sari Feldman is our current president. She's a public librarian, and she has an incredible library system and a huge number of users. And so her guidance on Libraries Transform has really made it incredible. In fact, I believe at last count we have 800 libraries throughout the country who are going to be focusing on Libraries Transform with banners and activities so that we can provide that special opportunity for our users during April.
Well, I think it's great. And you know, to close here, I know that the tagline or the theme for the conference is transforming our libraries ourselves. And I think that is very well put. Once again, we want to thank Julie Todaro, the president-elect of the American Library Association.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Join us for our next cup of coffee as we continue to have conversations in education that matter to you. I'm Dr. Rod Berger, and this is Coffee.